And now we will read from Psalm 130. Psalm 130, a song of degrees. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul does wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. So far the readings.
Congregation, in preparation for the Holy Supper that will be administered, Lord willing, next Sunday, I want to preach from Psalm 130. And our main text is in the midst of the psalm, the verses 5 and 6. Psalm 130, and we want to meditate upon the whole psalm, but the main text for this morning is verses 5 and 6. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. This psalm is about expectation out of the depth. Expectation out of the depth. And we see in the first place distress. And in the second place, expectation. And in the third place, hope. So it's in the first place about distress, in the second place about expectation, and in the third place about hope. This psalm, Psalm 130, is, I think, one of the favorites, isn't it? Maybe we are very familiar with the text of this psalm. Maybe, boys and girls, you are able to recite this whole psalm or parts of this psalm by head. All psalms are always precious to those who believe. When our hearts are glad, we go to the psalms. When we are confused, when we are troubled, we go to the psalms. In the psalms, we find the hearts of God's people. In the psalms, we find their joy and their grief, their highs and their lows. The psalms are so full of the experiences of God's children. A song of degrees, or a song of ascents. This means that this psalm, amongst others, is a pilgrim's song. Travelers on their way to Jerusalem, they would sing these psalms of the degrees. And they were journeying to Jerusalem to go to the temple for the annual feasts of sacrifice, they would sing these psalms. So in fact, in Jerusalem, there was a singing congregation. That's how they went up to the house of the Lord, to the temple on Mount Zion. You literally had to climb up. And when they took those steps, entering into the house of worship, they would sing these psalms of the grief. And these psalms, they express the desire, the longing of the heart to meet the Lord in His house. Did you have that desire this morning as well? Was there maybe a psalm in your heart when you left your home? When you prepared yourself to go to the house of worship this morning? Was there that desire in your heart to hear the voice of the Beloved, to hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or did you only prepare yourself out of custom? How did we enter into the house of the Lord this morning? Song of the grief. Psalms for those who are traveling. People who are on their way. In fact, we are all traveling. We are all traveling from cradle to grave. And the track can be long. Last week in my home congregation, the oldest man member passed away. 99 years old. The travel of his life had been so long. But then there was the end. And last year in November in my congregation, a small baby after birth. It didn't even live for 30 minutes. Passed away. We are all traveling. And the road can be short or can be long. But we travel through time to that great eternity. And this week, congregation, in this week of preparation for the Holy Supper, we are on a special track, so to say. Because this week we will be ascending that mountain of the administration of the Holy Supper. And we have to prepare our hearts. And I pray that this psalm may be blessed in this week of preparation, climbing that mountain of the administration of the Holy Supper. How do we look at Psalm 130? Psalm 130 can be compared to a pearl. This psalm is a pearl of great price. It's the pearl of forgiveness, of redemption. And pearls usually lay deep. Usually pearls, genuine pearls, are found in the depth. That's exactly how this psalm begins. In the depth. And it's there even, you know, with the S in plural. Depth. It's plural. Now this psalm isn't fit for high flyers. Isn't fit for those who have no knowledge of crying from the depth. They may even feel offended or feel annoyed when the necessity of the depth of knowing your sin and misery is stressed. But that pearl of great price can only be found in the depth. And it teaches us the need to be brought down low in the depth of humiliation. Out of the depth. Oh, there can be so many depths in our lives. But in this psalm, it's not about the circumstances. It's not about difficulties. It's not about sin surrounding the psalmist. It's not about matters that he's suffering or struggling with. He describes the depth from which he cries unto the Lord with one word in verse 3. Iniquities. That's his actual depth. His iniquities. His guilt. He feels that he is accused in the sight of God. That he cannot stand before God. And God will count his sins. And he cannot stand. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? His iniquities. That's his actual depth. Do you recognize that in your own life as well? That you also have to make that confession, O Lord, there's no possibility that I could stand before Thee. For Thou art a righteous, Thou art a holy God in Thy judgment. And God will by no means keep the guilty unguilty. God is even in His holiness a consuming fire. And who can stand? There you have the need. This is the soul distress, the struggling. This is the actual depth in the life of the psalmist. That's the burden that weighs on his heart. O Lord, if Thou would mark my iniquities. Mark, if Thou would observe my iniquities. Mark. Like a teacher in your class, you know. You made a test, and the teacher takes your test, and he has that red pencil, you know, and he's going to mark all the mistakes. One by one. He's marking in red your mistakes. And so the psalmist says, Lord, if Thou would mark my mistakes, my sins, my iniquities, if Thou would take the test in my life, I cannot stand. Oh, this is the conviction of his heart. And this is also, congregation, the way in which the Holy Spirit works in the heart of God's children. And we begin to understand, God knows all my secrets. God's holy eyes go through all the pages of the book of my life. And we feel that when God will critically examine me, and He will mark my iniquities, and God will examine me in the test, I cannot stand. With all my sins, in my deeds, in my thoughts, in my words, in my behavior, in public, in private. Or maybe you can hide your sins for your parents, for your husband, for your wife, for your employer, not before God. iniquity. What is iniquity? Iniquity is all that's contrary to the holiness and the righteousness of God. And the psalmist says, "Oh Lord, if thou would mark, if thou would hold my iniquity, if God keeps my sins in his store and bring them unto light, then God has to bring that charge of condemnation upon me. Because with my sins, with my iniquities, I cannot stand before God. If God will not cast away my iniquity, oh then I will be lost forever. Who shall stand?" You see the question mark in this psalm in verse 3? You have to take that question to heart in this week of preparation. It's a question that we should not easily lay aside. Who can stand? And the answer has to be, no one can stand before thee. God will mark my iniquity. If God will not blot out my iniquity, no one can stand before God. Then we have to perish. If God, who knows everything, if he counts my sins and my iniquities, you will not able to stand before God. I will not able to stand before God. And have we learned to say amen to that conclusion? Newborn hearts take themselves no longer into protection. That's what actually happens, congregation, in this psalm. The psalmist doesn't take himself into protection any longer. If you are in debt with someone, oh, then you will be very shy of meeting that person. You will try to look away from him. You will try to hide yourself from your creditor. You sure will not seek the face, the countenance of your creditor. Because you are owing him and you are not able to pay your debt. But in this psalm, the sinner crying out of the debt, he isn't hiding himself. But he is coming before the Lord in all honesty, in uprightness. And he's crying unto the Lord. Oh, that is so precious, congregation. The sinner can no longer hide away. He opens his heart. He makes that true confession. "So foolish was I," says Asaph. "And I was so ignorant. I was as a beast before thee." Making that true confession. No longer hiding yourself. No longer running away. But returning unto God and crying unto him. That's also that precious saving work of the Holy Spirit in the heart of a sinner. And with the one hand, God is convincing him about his sins and iniquities. And God, with His other hand, is drawing the sinner near unto Himself. And you can no longer, and you will no longer, outrun God. But make confession before Him. And no longer hide yourself. How bottomless deep your lost state may be, even if you are the chiefest of sinners. Even if you have to confess, Lord, I sinned it all away. But coming to that spot where you bow before the Lord and cry unto Him out of the depth. Have I cried unto Thee, O Lord? It was a cry. Prayer is here a cry unto the Lord. Crying from the depth. Oh, the Bible shows us so many examples, congregation, of this crying unto the Lord, like Peter. Peter, when he was sinking in the depth of the waves, the sea, when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. He cried from the depth, save me, O Lord. Or like Daniel, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. A cry out of the depth. A begging at God's door. For mercy. And that also shows us, congregation, that this cry out of the depth, it has a direction. It's like an arrow. This crying out of the depth is like an arrow. An arrow from a broken heart, targeted to the heart of God. I cried unto thee. Just like that publican, the parable. O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Do you know this crying to the Lord? Do you know it by heart? It's one thing to know that vinegar is sour. It's another thing when you have tasted that vinegar is sour. You can say we are all sinners, but to experience I am a sinner from the depth of your lost state and then crying to God. Seeking for the heart of God. With your whole heart. So as we now go into this week of preparation upon the Holy Supper, we have to examine our hearts from this song of the Greeks, climbing up to that Lord's Day, if the Lord provides for the administration of the Holy Supper, to examine ourselves. Do I know? And cry unto the Lord out of the depth of my life. Lord, hear my voice. No expectation on man's side. But then there is an expectation on God's side. And that's what we want to think of in our second point. Expectation. But let's first sing Psalter 403. The first stanza, so 403, stanza 1, praise ye the Lord. for it is good to sing unto our God. 'Tis right and pleasant for his saints to tell his praise abroad. And what follows in verse 1, stanza 400 and Psalter 403. So we see and we learn, congregation, from this Psalm of the Greece, that the ascent, it starts in the depth. And from the depth climbs up that expectation from the Lord. No, it's not a superficial thing. It's not a plain thing. That expectation is very strong, is really intense. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. That often happens in the Psalms when words are repeated. Then the Psalm wants to say how strong the experience was. We're waiting, expresses the expectation. So profound was the cry out of the depth. It was not a mere bodily service. No, he was waiting with his heart and with his soul. There was fervency in his waiting. There was a strong desire for the coming of the Lord. Waiting for the Lord to come. His whole existence, his whole being, it was one waiting for the Lord to come. His whole heart, his whole soul, all his affections were concentrated on that one issue of his life, waiting for the Lord. All his thoughts, all his works, it was all engaged in that one work, waiting for the Lord. His soul was waiting. His inner heart, from the depth of his soul, he was waiting for the Lord. And then he makes that comparison, of the watchman. Waiting on the walls of the city. Those watchmen, those night watches, they waited the long hours of the night, standing at the gate, standing on the walls. They waited, looked forward to the coming of the morning. Think of a nurse. Maybe you are a nurse, or you want to become a nurse. And as a nurse, you have to take your night shift. Especially at the end of the night, it can be such a long night, and you have such a desire for the morning to come. Or when you have to sit and watch at a sick bed, or maybe a deathbed of a beloved in the night, then you also know by experience how long such nights can be. So that's the comparison that the psalmist is making from the watchmen on the walls of the city. They have a desire for that first daylight to come, that glimpse of the rising of the sun. And in the context of the psalm, some explainers also remark that you could think of the priests and the Levites. They were watchmen in the house of the Lord, and they were waiting for the morning. And they had a desire for the morning, so that they might enter into that labor of that morning sacrifice. From the night, they waited for the morning and the sacrifices to be brought. And like those watchmen in the night, waiting for the morning, so the psalmist is waiting for the Lord. His expectation is focused upon the Lord. In his need, in his misery, out of the depth, as a poor, unworthy sinner, he waits on the Lord. But where does this expectation come from? What is the source? What is the ground? What is the foundation for his expectation of the Lord to come? Not from his own side, because he had to confess, "If thou, Lord, shouldst mark my iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand?" And then verse 4. "But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared." That's the turning point in this psalm. There you have the foundation of his expectation, that there is forgiveness with God. That's the handhold for his soul. Oh, it's such a blessed but with God, but from God, but by God, is a free, a full, a sovereign forgiving, that propitiation, that taking away of iniquities, that cleansing of all sins, that God lifts up the burden from your soul, that God takes away that burden of your sin and of your iniquity, that God takes away the charges of the penalty because of sin that you deserve. Restoration unto God, receiving peace, reconciliation with God. It all flows from God's mercy and from God's grace. That's the pearl in the depth. Christ is the pearl. Christ, who was willing to come into the depth, who was willing to bear the burden, to carry all the unrighteousness. Oh, that great love of God in sending His only begotten Son into this world to seek those who are lost. He came in the depth of the manger. He came down in man's guilt. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. He was even delivered unto the death of the cross. And here opens the depth of God's mercy. But there is forgiveness with thee. And the cross of Calvary is in the middle of this psalm. And at the cross of Christ, there forgiveness of sins is offered even for the chiefest of sinners. All forgiveness had to be earned, and the price for forgiveness was high. Christ had to offer Himself, His blood, His soul. But now, there is a way out of the debt. There is a way of salvation out of the darkest misery, out of the greatest guilt. O sinner, cry unto the Lord. Cry like this psalmist from the depth of your sin and of your misery. Look upon the cross. There is forgiveness. Forgiveness with God. Mercy and plenteous redemption with God. Oh, the psalmist is looking for this salvation. And this also we should take to heart in this week of preparation. The psalmist was crying unto the Lord. The Lord, the Lord, where he findeth his forgiveness. Forgiveness with thee, he expresses himself. And so we have to look upon the Lord in that same way. We so often look upon ourselves. Oh, what a lesson that from our side there is no expectation. Look away from self and open your heart before the Lord. Will not hide anything before the Lord. Oh, what a blessing to wait upon the Lord. Oh, will congregation take that to heart in this week of preparation. Waiting for the Lord. My soul doth wait. And there is forgiveness with thee. That's the only expectation from God, who is plenteous in His mercy and His grace. For in God we find all that we stand in need of. Such a blessed, but it's such a wonderful word. Therefore come unto Him and cast yourself before Him, confessing your sin and iniquity, because there is forgiveness with thee. And this forgiveness, it is granted for free, for nothing. Oh, the price was high. On the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ paid the price. And the Puritans often say, for him, such a high price. And for the sinner, such a low price. Nothing in my hands I bring, only to the cross I cling. Remember that high price. In no other way atonement could be obtained than through the death of Christ. And there is no greater cost, no greater sacrifice, no greater Savior than that precious Jesus. He paid the price. And when you have to experience the depth of your sin, your iniquity, your lost state, then no self-help program will provide any help. But what a blessed lesson when you have come to an end. Over and over again, coming to an end. Looking away from self. No price in your hand. But there is forgiveness with thee. That expectation in God, in Christ, in that fulfilled work of redemption. Oh, so often in a week of preparation we are inclined to search for something within. Could I be more humble? Could I be more prayerful? Could I be more holy? Could I be more brokenhearted? But how hard you will try. Even our best efforts cannot pay the price. The price is much, much too high. We cannot obtain God's favor. We cannot climb out of the depth and appear before God in our own strength. And such ones that understand this by their heart, they become that waiting people, waiting upon the Lord. And even after you begin to know Christ, God's people, also after having a saving sight of faith upon the Lord Jesus Christ, they stay a waiting people. The longer you know the Lord, the longer you have been with the Lord, the nearer you live unto the Lord, the more you begin to understand about God and about self and about salvation and about Christ, the more you will be a waiting people. But there is forgiveness with thee. That's the only expectation of such a waiting people in the midst of all their shortcomings, frailty, brokenness of their life. But they wait for the Lord with their whole heart, with their whole souls. They wait for him to come. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait. And in his word do I hope, my soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Let's now sing, continuing from Psalter 403, the stanzas 2 and 3. Our Lord is great. He calls by name and counts the star of night and no human might, no earthly pride delights the Lord above. Psalter 403, the stanzas 2 and 3. Psalm speaks of distress, of expectation, and also hope. And in his word, I hope. When you take a brief look at the psalm, and you hear about that cry from the depth, then you can easily draw the conclusion. That seems to be close to despair. But in fact, if you study the psalm more deeply, it's full of the lively hope. I wait for the Lord. And I'm expecting Him. For there is forgiveness with thee. And I know it. From His own word. And I hope in His word. I'm not hoping on myself. I'm not hoping on getting any better. I'm not hoping on changes I can realize in my own strength. No, I hope in His word. His word. God's precious word. The promises. God's great and faithful promises. Hoping in His word. In this way you survive in the depth. Because His word is not a word of man. No, it's God's word. It's a faithful saying. And worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. It's the word of that great yea and amen. It's the word of God who cannot lie. I hope in His word. His lively hope. It clings to God. It clings to the Word of God as a person drowning in water is clinging to the life buoy. And so the expectation and that waiting upon God, it is rooted in God. It is rooted in God's forgiveness. It is rooted in the hope in God and His Word. This is the biblical hope. And the symbol you might know for the biblical hope is an anchor. Try to remember that, boys and girls. The biblical hope is like an anchor. And where is an anchor used for? An anchor is thrown overboard, isn't it? And then that anchor sinks away in the deep. And it fastens itself in the deep, in the bottom of the sea. Have you ever seen that a captain gave the order that they had to throw the anchor inside the ship? No, he gave the order. They had to throw the anchor outside of the ship. And the anchor ground was unseen, was in the depth of the sea, bottom of the sea. And there the anchor found the anchor ground. And the more the ship was pulling on the anchor chain, the tighter the anchor grounded in the bottom. And this is the function of the biblical hope, that lively hope. We do not throw that anchor within, but outside of ourselves. Within, it's hopeless, it's lost. We are poor and needy if we really came to know ourselves. No expectation from ourselves. No hope, only depth, unable to rise up and to climb out of the depth. Wretched man that I am. But our hope and our fastness is in the Word of God, in the Word of God's promise, in the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, often this lively hope can be challenged and contested. The believer has to exercise hope against hope. The believer has to exercise that his hope is only in God. And that the crown lays behind the cross. And that resurrection lays behind the grave. So this Christian hope is never cheap, is never superficial. It's exercised in that expectation out of the depth, from that reality, distress, expectation, and hope. In His Word do I hope. In His Word. Hope in His Word. Especially in the Word that was made flesh. In the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the foundation of our hope. And so hope is the companion of faith. Like Bunyan describes so beautifully. Christian, the believer, was traveling, and his companion was the hope. In this psalm of the Greeks, the pilgrim is traveling, and hope is his companion. Often this hope is put under pressure, the mocking of unbelief. Where is thy God? The nagging of Satan, curse God and die. The despondency of your own heart, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? How long wilt thou hide thy face for me? And still, that hope cannot be taken away. Can never be taken away. The hope will not make ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us, Romans 5, verse 5. In His word, I do hope. The Lord is my hope in His promise. And that word of God always points congregation to Christ. Christ in which we find forgiveness with God. Is that lively hope your companion? How are you entering this week of preparation? Do you have that companion in your heart and in your life? Do you have hope? Hope in God? Hope in His word? Or are you still without God? And without Christ? And without hope? Have you become a pilgrim? A traveler to Zion? Oh, then I believe that you are no stranger of this psalm, this distress, this depth, this expectation, and this hope. And then there's another surprising thing at the closing of this psalm. Maybe you recognize it already. That surprising thing. And it goes from singular to plural. When that hope is restored, when that hope in that forgiveness with God has come to life again, then the psalmist is so tenderly urging the people of Israel to hope in the Lord in the verses 7 and 8. Let Israel hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there's mercy. And with Him is plenteous redemption. And He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. That exhortation to ask for the Lord, to seek Him and to need Him. And he's lifting the name of the Lord up much high. With him is plenteous redemption. A full redemption. That means again and again. From the one season of the Holy Supper to the other season of the Holy Supper. Plenteous redemption with God. Always. Again and again, he redeems, he saves, he comforts. How mighty, how many our sins and our iniquities are with him. It's plenteous redemption. So full, so rich, that the psalmist in closing says, and he shall redeem. This fountain never runs dry. But I erred so much. I sinned so much. I was so unwilling. I even sinned purposely. If God will mark my iniquities, then I cannot stand. My iniquities of past and present. My iniquities before and after my repentance even. Sins that I committed once and sins that I committed repeatedly. Who can stand? But with him is a plenteous redemption. The fountain is full. And boys and girls, have you ever seen that somebody with a full cup came to a fountain? You come to a fountain with an empty cup. Christ is full. Come to him with your empty cup. And sometimes you have a full cup and then the Lord throws it from the table and he empties your cup. What a blessing. If God empties your cup again. And you cry for him again. For that full redemption in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the pearl. The pearl of great price. And if that pearl has become precious to you, then that preciousness of Christ, it will work something out in your heart and in your life. Then the psalmist says only in a few words, that thou mayest be feared. And Christ has become precious unto us. Oh, then we will fear him. With our whole heart. With our whole life. And it's like our catechism says. Not only misery, not only redemption. But that there will also be that gratitude. In fearing him. With reverence, with humility, with a desire to live for him and to worship him and to serve him, then God will fill your heart with himself, that wonder, forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared for of him and through him and unto him. Are all things to whom be glory forever. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Lord, wilt thou teach us and comfort us through this psalm of degrees, that this psalm will be our traveling psalm this week in preparation for the administration of the Holy Supper. That day and night this psalm will be in our hearts. The depth, the expectation, the hope. But also encouraging each other. There's plenteous redemption with the Lord. To wait upon him. To look unto thee. That thou wouldest come and pay us a visit. O Lord, remember each and every one of us. Be with us in this afternoon, in this evening hour. Wilt thou again bring the congregation faithfully together this evening around thy holy word, and that also in family circles we will have the opportunity to speak with one another, to meditate upon thy holy word, and especially to enter into that inner closet and to be quiet before thy holy countenance. O Lord, remember us. In Jesus' name, amen.